And welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. We're recording this a day early, as life is going to create havoc with our schedules over the next few days. So we thought that maybe we would get a chance to record after, you know, a nice uplifting win for the Cardinals, and that did not happen. There were so many things that are going to get overshadowed by the end of that game. But, you know, Marcelo Ozuna hits a home run. Dexter Fowler reaches base, four times, I think, including once on an error and out, and had one base running blunder, but that's, you know, we'll take what we can get. You know, Michael Walker, who besides walking everybody, looked pretty good. There were so many positive things that could have been taken out of that, and then Andrew Miller happened.
It's honestly a bit of a microcosm, I think, of the early season so far, because there have been plenty of moments where you see, oh, that's what this could look like. And the Cardinals have created chances for themselves. They've done brilliantly as far as hitting home runs, not always effectively in winning the games, but nonetheless, they are scoring runs. They are close in games. All but I think one of their games so far have been decided by two runs or less. So it's not as if they're, you know, just completely overwhelmed or making the kinds of mistakes that the Cubs are making right now. It's just the result isn't following with a lot of that effort. And there are a lot of things to point to as far as why that is. I mean, the strikeouts from the guys at the plate, the lack of strikeouts from the guys on the mound, those things all add up to the losses that they've seen so far. But I guess if you're looking for a silver lining, and I'm not sure many people are right now, but if you are, it's that this is a team that is really capable of winning every one of the games that they've played so far. And, you know, at some point, you'd like to think that that would generate the results to match the potential. We'll see.
Yeah. The problem is, I guess in some regard, is they have been in each of these games, but they've lost them in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like last year where the bullpen was blowing up, because there have been games that the bullpen has kept them in this thing.
And right.
The team's been able to rally or whatever the case may be. They've pitched well at times. You know, then you say, well, it's the offense, but then there's been times where, you know, you had the 3-home run game by Goldschmidt. You know, they've obviously got enough power. We can talk about consistency and things of that nature, but there's still been enough offense. I mean, they were averaging like 5 runs a game, I think, until probably pretty close to that. You know, then it's the starting pitching. Well, then you get it's like Michael Walker that go out and give you interesting outings today. But, you know, his first outing was very good. It's difficult to just say that's the problem. And maybe that's where a lot of angst comes in, because if there was one place where you could fix it, you know, maybe people could be a little bit, well, no, they wouldn't be more patient, but, you know, at least you could be a little bit more understanding of, okay, this is the problem, and maybe here's how we go about fixing it, or we just have to maybe avoid this pitcher or that hitter or whatever. But, you know, it's somebody's going to be the hero, and the next day they may not be, and I guess somewhat that's baseball, but it'd be nice if they showed some consistency somewhere so we could at least know what the problem is.
Yeah, and I think what has a lot of people pretty frustrated is that so far what we're seeing as problems are things that in theory could have been addressed over the offseason, whether it's starting pitching or back end bullpen help or another complementary piece, if not a centerpiece, to go along with Paul Goldschmidt in the middle of that batting order. So they're all things that the Cardinals could have addressed and opted not to because they felt so strongly about the pieces they already had. Well, turns out the pieces they already have aren't living up to those expectations at this point. Now, it's impossible to draw any sort of full season conclusions based on 8 games, but that isn't stopping anyone from drawing full season conclusions and from almost hitting the panic button at this point about certain guys. I'm sure we'll talk about some of them specifically, but you're right. The starting pitching, I think, was a place where there was a lot of confidence going into the season from the team. And yet there was a lot of concern from some of us looking at the ways that that rotation could go wrong and how much that could affect everything else that goes on. I think the same could be said for the lineup. This is a team that is built to score runs, and what they're doing right now is striking out and not doing it, you know, in a way that makes them very competitive. So those are the two biggest areas of concern, I think. Yes, the bullpen, I mean, bullpens are always going to be a bit volatile, and you're going to have to sort of mix and match and find ways to get the right guys in play. But to see the starting pitching as a whole struggle, to see Michael Wacha as the best starter of the bunch when he walked, what, 8 guys today?
Yeah.
Not a real comforting feeling.
No, and I get, and there's a section of the fan base that the Cardinals could have won the World Series last year and had this kind of start, and they'd still be, you know, on the edge and pulling their hair out and all that kind of stuff. But that vocalness grows when it has been 3 years since they've made the playoffs, and you have the front office. Again, they didn't say they were all in. They're not pushing everything into the middle, but they had an urgency about this season. And it hasn't gotten off on the right foot, and you start to wonder, you know. And again, you know, there's a lot of when will this urgent? I mean, I don't want to say that that way, because I don't think you can fault the team with how they're playing. It feels like they understand things. It's just not going well. It's not like sometimes in the past where you've kind of felt like maybe the team was going through the motions. I don't think we're seeing that at all.
No, I mean, that's, you see the result of that in the fact that they're right in it to the very end of every game. It's not as if they get down by 2 runs and all of a sudden you can shut it down because nothing else is going to happen. So that part is different for sure.
Right. So, but you know, and if you've got, they just need to get something going, and they will. I feel like they will. But until they do, that angst is only going to grow, and probably in inappropriate ways, because that's just the way Twitter is, and starts slinging arrows everywhere. I do think it was, I didn't get to see some of the Ozuna bashers and see if they were what they said after the home run today. But, you know, then again, it's one home run, and it was a big home run. It was a key home run that could have won the ball game. But Marcelo Ozuna is still, I don't know that he's moved himself off the problem list to the solution list just with, you know, one decent game.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of the Marcelo Ozuna conundrum that I think will take a long time to have people convinced that he can be the cleanup hitter that he needs to be for this team to be successful. I think there was no one really, with the possible exception of Andrew Miller, that I was more frustrated with in the opening week of the season than Marcelo Ozuna, because, you know, with everyone else, you could see where things were almost there, or there would be a contribution in one game, they'd look great, and then the next day they wouldn't. With Marcelo Ozuna, there was nothing there. There was no silver lining to what he was doing at the time, and it was frustrating because of all of the opportunities wasted by having him in that cleanup spot. So great to see him 2 days in a row drive in runs, one yesterday on a base hit and today, of course, on the home run. But he needs to be that guy more often than he isn't before people will really, I think, settle down, myself included, about leaving him in that 4 spot. Because, man, if you go back and look at all of the opportunities that they have had in the last 8 games, he's had plenty of chances to push this team over the top, which is what he's there to do. And, you know, he just hasn't done it. So great to see, but it's certainly not a pattern at this point, I don't think. So just something to watch.
Well, and again, what is becoming a pattern is the idea that what we are seeing of him being switched out of games late. I mean, this is the second time, and today was the second time in well, what, 3 days, I guess, were, you know, late innings. Now, to some degree, that's because you've got guys like Tyler O'Neill on the bench that can go in and probably play a little bit better defense and not necessarily drop off offensively, but then you start wondering, well, if they can play better defense and they're hitting about the same,
why isn't he playing?
Yeah, why is he not the starter again?
Yeah.
And again, I get that there's a level of Mike Shildt giving encouragement to these guys and saying, look, a small sample is not going to burn you. If you have a bad week, you're not necessarily going to be yanked out of the spot.
Go ahead. Part of the problem, though, is that Marcelo Ozuna hasn't been good. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, in a year, he's had a good week here and there, but other than that, he hasn't been. And his overall line last year wasn't tragic. It wasn't something, you know, that is probably as bad as it felt like it was, but he has not been the guy that the Cardinals brought him in to be since he came to St. Louis. So where there's a line for me is kind of trying to figure out how much is enough to give a guy confidence, but how much is enough to let a guy be comfortable with being less than he needs to be, you know? Not that I feel like often professional athletes need that sort of motivating factor, but I don't know, sometimes they do. Sometimes they need a push. Sometimes they need to know that their job isn't secure just because they're the name that is supposed to fit into that spot. And for Ozuna, it feels like this isn't just a matter of him having a bad week. It's about him having a bad year. And a lot of that can be said about Dexter Fowler as well, that there's I think Alex said on our podcast last week that it's built on the scaffolding of last year with Ozuna. And so it's the leash or the willingness to be patient is a little bit less because there's not a track record of success to go back to.
Well, and again, that's true. And that's absolutely true. But then again, you know, I think we kind of feel like Dexter Fowler should get that bit of confidence, which he probably needs, you know, but he doesn't have the track record in St. Louis either, I guess, unless you look at 17. I get that. I know that's true. And maybe that's something that Mike Shildt needs to learn. Maybe that it's not one-size-fits-all managing. That you can't just say, okay, everybody, you're going to get to play for 2 weeks or whatever. And some people need to know that, you know, they need to perform. I don't know. You gotta trust that Mike Shildt knows his players a little bit better than we do.
I would hope so.
I mean, since he's actually there. So, you know, then again, maybe we couldn't always say that about the former managers anyway.
Well,
that's enough.
There it is.
Yeah. Cheap shots. I'm sorry. But, you know, I think it's interesting. We saw after the game today, the Cardinals may be about to shuffle up a little bit. Alex Reyes is going down to Memphis. Yairo Munoz is going as well. Now, Alex Reyes, and I know you saw you put out a Twitter that you got a feel for him, but I think it was pretty obvious he does not need to be finding whatever he's lost in the major leagues. You know, he doesn't have the command that he needs, and getting him down to Memphis and whether it's putting him in the starting rotation or, you know, some sort of regularly scheduled work, hopefully that will get him to click. But right now, it's kind of tough to watch him.
It's very hard to watch. I have never seen, obviously we haven't seen a ton of Alex Reyes, but what we have seen of him in the minor leagues and a couple of glimpses at the major league level, I have never seen him pitch as hesitant as he has in the couple of appearances this season. It's almost like he so badly wants to make the most of this opportunity and finally be what everyone has been saying that he can be for so long, that he's doing too much. He's overthrowing just about everything. And the thing that's so special about Alex Reyes is that he never looks like he's overthrowing. He can hit 98 on the gun and it looks easy and it has movement and you don't quite know where it's going to go, but you know that it's probably going to fool somebody. And then he can come back in with those breaking pitches. That curveball is just mind-boggling when he just settles down and throws it. And it's hard to watch him because that's not what he's doing. And I don't know if it's a matter of nerves. I don't know if it's suddenly realizing where he is and the fact that he's healthy and now it's all about him actually executing pitches, or if there's just a level of rust from not doing it in games for so long. So yeah, as I mentioned on Twitter, I feel for him because, man, he wanted this so badly, and he was so excited to break camp with the team and to have a chance to contribute. So I know that it's got to be pretty crushing for him to, within the first 2 weeks, end up back in Memphis. But he also can't be pitching in games right now where, you know, the Cardinals need him to be able to put up zeros when he has no idea where the pitches are going when they leave his hand.
Yeah, and I think I saw something somebody put up that he was, this so far this year, one of the fastest workers that's been out there. And it may just be, he needs to figure out his rhythm. He needs to figure out, you know, not trying to hurry along, not trying to, you know, like you said, just breathe maybe a little bit, you know, and maybe that's all it'll take, is that, you know, lesser pressure, lesser lights, to have a chance to find it and then come up and show everybody what he can do. Because we know he can. I mean, it's obvious. Yeah. Every time he's pitched in the major leagues, he's been successful. Just hasn't been able to do that very
well. And a lot of people are worried that this is the new Alex Reyes. Keep in mind, we saw a lot of what he's capable of in the spring. We just didn't see it consistently. So it's not like his stuff is gone. It's not like the magic of Alex Reyes disappeared. It's just a matter of him being able to repeat that and to do it against major league hitters, which was always going to be a process. It doesn't always translate instantly when you make that jump to the big leagues. And then to add in basically 2 years off with injury, it's going to be a process. It's just unfortunate for his sake that it went so poorly so quickly.
Yeah. I know, he said, like everybody said, he's going to be back. It probably won't be very long.
Yeah.
Depending on if they use him as a starter. If they use him as a starter in Memphis, it may take a little bit longer just because he's only going to pitch every 5 days, you know, and it may take two or three starts before he can get back up here. But, yeah, he'll be back, and it'll be fine. Now, it is a little bit interesting, not too surprising, because I think we saw this, really saw this today, early in the game. What was it? I think the fourth inning, when the Padres loaded the bases, and Michael Walker came to the plate, and they let Walker hit, even though Walker had thrown like 702 pitches at that time, because he'd walked 804 people. You know, it was a situation where you can make that argument, a really good argument, I think, for Jose Martinez to pinch hit right there. But I just don't think they had the arms to cover the innings.
Yeah.
And they had to let Walker bat, and he didn't do anything. And, of course, you know, later on they took the lead. It didn't all that. Whether it mattered or not, I guess it just depends on how you want to look at the game. But so they send down Yairam Munoz as well, who, granted, hasn't gotten to do a whole lot yet anyway, and with Jed Jerko being activated this week, might get to do even less. But I'm still, I guess I'm just a little bit surprised, not, I understand it, that they're already shifting over to that 13 pitchers that we saw so much over the last few years.
Yeah, honestly, it's a product of the starting pitching not going deep in games. I mean, they're sort of handcuffing themselves as far as the roster is concerned by the starting pitching doing so little as far as covering those innings. And when you look at who's coming up, I mean, you've got Adam Wainwright, who you can't really bank on to go deep into games right now. You've got Dakota Hudson coming back into the rotation for the Dodger series, which is terrifying to me, but nonetheless, not necessarily expecting him to go deep into games. And Jack Flaherty has had a bit of an efficiency problem for most of his major league career thus far, and you certainly don't expect that to go away instantly. Miles Michaelis, I think, will figure it out. He just hasn't done it yet. And that's, I talked a little bit about this, but they're all doing this thing where they just, they throw way too many pitches. They get ahead of batters and then kind of nibble around the corners and end up turning what should be an easy out into a walk, and they put extra runners on base and then they have to throw. It's just, they're all doing it. So I don't know what is the source of that, but because of that, whether it's just they're not quite stretched out enough or I don't know, maybe they didn't have enough work in spring training, but they're not to where they need to be. So the rest of the pitching staff kind of is in a bind having to cover as many innings as they are. I think looking at the struggles of Andrew Miller, that also has put them in more of a situation because, you know, there were times where he was a two-inning guy and Jordan Hicks could be a two-inning guy and John Brebbia could be a two-inning guy and John Gant could be your long guy. So they've got guys that can cover innings, but not when every single one of your starters goes less than six innings. So I'm not surprised by the move. I think what will be interesting is if the guys they bring up are more capable of getting outs at this point than some of the guys who will still be on the roster.
Yeah, and it seems to be that Daniel Ponce de Leon is probably an automatic to come up. The other one seems to be, according to Derek Gould, kind of up between Tyler Webb, who is kind of scuffled in his first outing at Memphis, but is a lefty, and yeah, apparently that's a good idea for the Dodgers. And Hennessy Cabrera, who had a great offseason in the, I can't remember, it was the Venezuelan League, Caribbean League, one of those leagues. I just don't remember which one it was in, playing winter ball. Struggled a little bit in the spring. Didn't really hit what they wanted him to. I see a tweet from Kyle Reese who indicates that he's at least watching the Memphis game if he's not there. Showing that Hennessy had kind of gotten back to his regular pitching mechanics. So maybe that'll matter. But it feels kind of weird to me to jump to Hennessy so fast, if they do, and they may not. But he's a guy that, you know, again, we haven't seen a whole lot of, who has very good starter potential, apparently, but they're looking to push him into the bullpen, which may be permanent, may not be. And a guy that hasn't pitched, but what, I think he's pitching tonight, I think that's his first time at AAA. I can't remember, maybe he finished last year at AAA, I can't remember, but all of that together, not that Tyler Webb's necessarily this, you know, inspiring choice, but it feels, I don't know, does it feel like a panic move, or is that the urgency that we want them to show?
I think it's a high-risk, high-reward move, because I think the ceiling on what Cabrera could be is higher than what Webb could be. The trick is determining if he's ready to be that now. And what we saw from him in winter ball would indicate that, yes, he's a lot closer than what we saw from him in spring training. And if, as Kyle says, it's a mechanics thing that he's sorted out since then, that would leave me a little more comfortable that he's doing what he needs to do to be effective against major league hitters. But it's still an unknown. And, you know, I think there's some intrigue there because of what he's capable of. I know that John Mozeliak is really high on him, really likes what he's capable of, but there's, like I said, a risk that you're pushing too soon to try to force something to be there that just isn't yet. And that seems a little strange. 8 games in, it seems a little weird to me that he wasn't ready to be on a major league roster coming out of spring training, and after maybe one appearance at Memphis, suddenly he's the guy. So I don't know. It's a lot of 40-man roster gymnastics as well if they don't go with one of those guys. So that leaves him as one of the very few options at this point. So the Dodgers are terrifying offensively right now. So I'm not sure either Tyler Webb or Hennessy Cabrera are going to be a magic bullet that's going to silence those bats. But Cabrera brings more intrigue, but also more potential for disaster.
Yeah. Did look him up. He pitched 2 innings at the end of the season last year in Memphis. So not completely raw there, but pretty much. I wonder if Jordan Hicks has spoiled this organization a bit, because, again, a guy that, you know, obviously Cabrera has more minor league experience than he does, but Hicks had very little experience in the spring last year, made one really good outing, and all of a sudden he's on the major league roster and did well and has done well and has obviously developed this year to be a guy that can, you don't worry too much about closing games. But I don't know if that makes they think that, you know, experience is not that necessary to some of these people. If they just look at that talent and say, we can make it work at the big league level. I don't know. And they may, again, they very well may just go with Tyler Webb, and I would not be surprised if they did. It feels a little bit more like a Cardinal move. But if they go with Cabrera, I think that's kind of showing that there's a little bit of, they feel like this team needs that little bit of spark as well, and they're hoping he'll bring it to them.
I also think there's a really interesting thing happening baseball-wide, and it's been happening for the last few years, but the structuring of bullpens isn't necessarily the guys who can't hack it as a starter anymore. Mm-hmm. They're specialists in a lot of different ways, and they have really electric skill sets that in many ways would translate just as well as a starter if you needed them in that spot. But teams are utilizing those guys who have that it factor as relievers so that they can come in and cover for maybe a starter that doesn't go deep into games. So I think there's an element to it with that too. I mean, Tyler Webb is a bullpen guy. He's a bullpen guy who's not going to be a starter. I think if you look at Cabrera, he's a guy who has the kind of potential, the kind of stuff that translates to a major league starter. But if you can get that quality out of a reliever, that gives you some additional options. So I think part of it is just the Cardinals trying to figure out how to do this bullpen thing in the current environment of major league bullpens. And they have the options to go both ways with it. And really they have to decide which one is the kind of character of the Cardinals bullpen that they want to create. And, you know, then hope the pieces they think they have are actually capable of holding up their end of the bargain.
Yeah. Well, Taryn, I wanted to get into the lack of control that the pitchers have shown. We were poking around with Fangraphs and all this kind of stuff before the show started, but we've already hit the 30-minute mark, and I hate to dive too far into that topic. So before we do wrap up, I think we do need to talk just a little bit about Andrew Miller.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those situations where all this kind of talk might look silly in 3 months when he hasn't allowed a run since, you know, today or whatever the case might be. But this first week has been bad. You know, I think they showed his hard hit percentage is 50%. You know, if they hit the ball, they hit it hard. He's walking batters. It really kind of feels like, and maybe that's just because we're still living that, I don't want to say nightmare, it's a little extreme, but still, it feels like the second coming of Brett Cecil, a guy that had a lot of success, had then gotten injured, who was coming off that injury and in an effectiveness, but the idea was he's kind of, you know, he's a little bit farther removed, he's healed up, he'll be fine. And, you know, again, we've seen what Brett Cecil has brought to this Cardinal team. You know, do we worry about Andrew Miller? Do we think that everything's going to be fine and dandy after just a few more outings?
I think it's also, if we're talking about living in nightmares, he sounds a lot like Greg Holland right now. Mm-hmm. If you listen to him, everything's fine, I feel fine. It's just about, you know, things aren't going like I wanted them to, but I'm confident that it'll be better the next time. And I thought I figured something out, but it didn't have the results that I wanted, but it's everything's also great.
It also sounds like Adam Wainwright too.
Also, so. Yes. but again, not a great trend at this point. So it's a little disconcerting, if nothing else, to hear some of that, to see some of the similarities. And he doesn't have the excuse of not having a full spring training as the reason for all of that. So, Yeah, it's totally fair to be concerned. I think a lot of people were concerned when the Cardinals signed him that he hadn't really shown signs of being the vintage Andrew Miller that changed the way bullpens work several years ago. So concerned, yes. I think there's still room to be optimistic that he will, in fact, figure it out. If it's not a physical issue, that he will be able to, you know, find the mechanics or find the release point or whatever it is that has him so inconsistent right now. But this team needs Andrew Miller to be good, quite frankly. And if he's not, it sort of sends their bullpen into a bit of a tailspin because he's going to stay on the roster. They signed him to a 3-year contract. This isn't a just cut bait and run kind of scenario. So, you know, in that regard, it's very much like the Brett Cecil situation where you're going to have to put him in there, have to let him pitch. You're going to have to see if he can figure it out. And the challenge there is not letting him lose too many games in the process.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's really nothing else you can do.
Yeah.
Unless an injury pops up. But even that doesn't really solve your problem because he needs to pitch. He needs to get that figured out, and you know, maybe an injury rehab would help, but even that, it doesn't sound like that is the problem. And hopefully it will, you know, again, it will figure it out with a little bit more tweaking, but boy, it just, it's not like he's just missing by a little bit or he's leaving too much. I mean, it's just bad all the way around. And I don't know, you know, but with the commitment they've made to him, I mean, this is not Ty Wigington where they can cut him after half a year, even though they have another year on the contract. He would have to be remarkably bad for that. And if that's the case, the season's probably shot anyway.
Right.
So, they're going to have to figure something out. And, you know, that's what Mike Maddux gets paid for to do. I mean, and that's kind of what they brought
him
over.
So we've been
here.
Told anyway.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of the problem with a whole new coaching staff is then all of a sudden Mike Maddux is one of the long standing ones, and you know, after 2 years or a year and a plus. So
I mean, we can't blame Matheny anymore for the bullpen being bad. So
somebody's got to take it, and you know, I don't think Brian Eversgard has done enough.
I don't think so.
Get that. So
sabotage. Yeah,
that's right. He's trying to get that big job. So. Anyway, all right. Well, hopefully next week when Tara and I get together, you know, Andrew Miller has thrown like 5 perfect innings, and the Cardinals are in first place and all that. But it's gonna be kind of an interesting week, I guess, with you know, finishing up here with the Padres, 4 games with the Dodgers, and then heading out to Mexico. I'm not really sure what I think about these games in different places in the middle of the year, but I guess if they win them, I'll be fine with it. So, but until next week, after we'll talk after that Mexico series, that is Tara, and I am Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.